Well, I'd really appreciate your prayers tonight. I have a message I feel like the Lord give me, but I'm sure God needs the Lord's help. So I'd like to think a little bit tonight about the title of God Speaks. Well, God is not just an imagination. You know, there's a lot more to communication than language, just written language, letters. It is amazing how 26 letters of an alphabet can get so many thoughts and everything, but I've heard it said that, and I can't verify it, of course, but that when we communicate to each other, only about 13% is words. 87% of our communications with one another is through our body language, something that we pick up on that we don't even realize at the time we're doing it. For instance, you're talking to me and I roll my eyes. I don't say anything, but you know that what you just said, what I think of it. And I didn't have to say anything. And we have expressions on our face. I've been a minister for quite a while, and so I've had the privilege of watching people. And I think I'm astute enough, really, to be honest with you, to know when I lose you. I've seen people's faces before with wonderment, like, what is he talking about? And so we communicate, and with a lot more than language. And I think that it's provable in the scriptures. There is an underlying idea in the Bible of things like Jesus said, if you have ears to hear.
Yes.
Well, everybody's got ears. What's he talking about? If you got eyes to see, let them see. If you got ears to hear, let them hear. Well, everyone's got the ears, and pretty much, I mean, the damage, you know, eyes to see. So he's talking about something else.
Yes.
He's talking about a capacity to understand, to see, and it's more than language that he's talking about. It's to be able to perceive. What is language for? It's to communicate ideas to one another. It's to be able to take my thoughts and give them to you, my understanding, and give it to you, and give it like that. That's the purpose and reason is to communicate. And God is communicating. But do we have ears to hear it? Do we have a capacity to receive? Now, Brother Ed said something in the message this morning, and it got me, because I'm thinking about this message. I related to it. He said that there's a language of the Lord that the world ain't hearing. They're far beyond being able to hear this message that the Lord has. And so the Lord speaks in a way, and there's other scriptures that makes us to know that there is more than just a language involved here. God can communicate and has communicated with these people. For instance, Jesus came by one time and he was going his way, and he went to get some fruit off of a fig tree, and it didn't have fruit on it. Well, Jesus wasn't just going around cursing trees at random. I'm sure that there was a lot of trees. I mean, if it had been his mission to come to this world and curse trees, well, he would curse a lot of trees. But it wasn't what he was trying to convey. He was trying to convey something.
Yes, he was.
To those that have ears to hear it,
right,
and eyes to see it, he was trying to say. He wasn't so concerned in a tree. He could have said the same. You know, he cursed that fig tree, and it died so immediately and so dead That when they came back by, it was already dried up. And that they marveled how quickly, when he cursed the tree, how quickly it died. But he was God of the universe. He could have said bear fruit and inedible fruit. But he was trying to speak something to them that would be ingrained in them. That they would understand something about themselves, maybe. About mankind. Something that would be meaningful about them. I don't know what all it might mean. It might mean more than I can comprehend. But it does mean something. And it was the Lord speaking to get us to understand something. We need to bear fruit, for one thing. The Lord is expecting fruit. I don't know what all it might mean, but I can say it might mean this too. You got something that needs dried up in your life? He's the one that can dry it up. Lynn and I were just having a conversation just recently about saying about how I found it almost difficult, some of the things in my life. I don't find it kind of difficult. I find it totally impossible sometimes to change things that I like to change. Yes. I like for them to be different, but I can't make them different in myself. Can you just say to somebody that's fearful, well, just stop that. Just stop being fearful. Well, that's good. Thank you for saying that. I'm done. I'm healed. No, it doesn't work that way. But God has taught us something. God has taught us that he can help us in those things. He taught us that he can work in those things. There is a language of life. There's a language of everything. God is, as Brother Ed said this morning, he's the God of events. He speaks through the events. He's saying something. He wants to communicate with us and talk to us about things. It isn't a haphazard or random. In God's world, there's nothing like that in God's world. It's only in our world that we see those things. God is able to take those things and speak to us, but it takes something, an ear to hear. That's more than just, it's talking about a capacity for it, a desire for it. Let him that's willing and obedient, let him that wants it. Lord, what does this mean? What are you trying to say to us? I don't want to be just like the world out there that can't hear the Lord when he's speaking and when he's saying something. There was a whole lot of people in the day of Noah. There was a lot of people by then. There was generations of people. There was a lot of people on the earth at the time. But there was only one person that had the ear to hear. That was in the place to even realize God. The rest of the people, the imagination to the thoughts of their hearts was only evil continually. They didn't hear, and yet the same God was still speaking. The same events of life was still happening. Was people still dying? Was people still suffering? Was people still killing each other? Was they still in? Was there a need to think or hear? Of course, but they didn't hear it. Well, Lord, help us that we stay in the place that we can hear what the Lord speaks. In the 19th Psalm, the first verse starts out this way. It says, the heavens declare the glory of God. Declare? The heavens declare. The declaration? Officially? An official declaration? They declare something? That means they speak something, don't they? The heavens, is he talking about? My mind can take in from our atmosphere out, everything. It declares something. It says that it declares the glory of God. It speaks something to those that have ears to hear.
That's right.
Your scripture really is speaking. It's saying something is speaking.
Yes.
I remember as a young boy, way before having a mind to serve God, looking up into a West Virginia summer night, crystal clear, no light fog as they call it, nothing but a dark night. We had our house, and then there was a mowed field up above it, and I can remember being up there a number of times and just doing whatever our boy was doing at the time. I'm not sure exactly what, but whatever, whether it was hide and go seek or whatever it was at the time, I can remember laying there and looking up into the stars. And something happened to me. I remember to this day the sensation that I had of looking up into the boundless universe. It was humbling.
Yes.
I didn't know anything about God. I knew that that made me feel small.
Yes.
It was a mystery. There was something so unknown, so deep, so long, so far. So it made me think at that young age, what am I doing here and what is this about?
Yes.
Do you know that what God put there spoke to me?
Yes, exactly right.
It spoke to me.
Yes.
It was saying something to me about my existence.
Yes.
And I remember it not knowing anything but hearing that in my own soul, that there's something more. There's something great about this. Did God exhaust himself in creation? Does it not speak that if, doesn't the creator have to be bigger than the creation? I mean, did God in 6 days of creation exhaust himself that he could create no more? What kind of a God is this? He's an almighty God. It says it declares the glory of God. It says about who he is. And I have to wonder then, why doesn't people look up into the heavens and declare the glory of God? Because they don't have any ears to hear it. They're not hearing what it's saying, but it's speaking. God's creation is speaking to us about his existence. It also speaks to us about his magnificence. It speaks to us about our smallness. It speaks of all to us about who we are and what we're about. It speaks, the wonder of it all. I would get so melancholy as a young person to look at it, I'd have to get away from it because I couldn't. It was beyond me so far to try to imagine. In my mind, sometimes I would imagine trying to go out there in my mind, what is beyond what I can't see? What is this all about? I ask the dumb questions, is if I, things like if I didn't know I was here, I wouldn't believe it was. these thoughts, because how can I be here? Who am I? What is this all about? God speaks. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. If God done all that, then he created me.
Yes.
And he created everybody.
Yes.
And we're responsible to the God that created us. And I look at the world that we're in today, and I used to imagine when I first got saved, I used to read the scripture that the imaginations of the thoughts of their heart was only evil continually, and in the day, as it was in the day of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of God. And I thought, what does that even mean? You got ears to hear tonight? Is something speaking this day and time about where we're at? Have you noticed anybody's of any age? Have you noticed a obvious decline in people's thinkings? Their capacity to reason, even to reason. God is a reasoning God. God gave us the ability to reason. He gave the mathematical system. Everything that we know, God did it. God speaks to us through that. I know what kind of God we have because I know what mathematics does. He's an exact God.
Yes.
He's a God that created the orbits and done all those things. That's the God. And I see a creation without ears to hear. that's going so far away and making these, I'll be honest, recently I heard this thing, it's been around for a while, but a famous tennis star had made the comment about the greatest woman tennis star. I don't know if some of you have seen that in the headlines. I mean, he made a comment about it, made some comment, yeah, she was the greatest woman tennis player ever. And they look at him and say, well, now, why did you have to clarify that by saying woman? Why couldn't you just say that she's the greatest tennis player ever? And he's, well, because she's not. Well, what do you mean by that? Well, she wouldn't even get close beating men. Now, I'm sorry for this, but I'm going to just have to say it the way it is. The fact that there's even a discussion about that kind of foolishness shows you where people's going. That you shouldn't even have to go into that. The obvious, this has been obvious ever since mankind, God made us.
Yes.
So what's it about? What's happening? You know, God is still speaking. God speaks like God always speaks. His nature, the natural world that he made still speaks. His word still speaks. Daily, he speaks to us. I just don't know if you're listening, but daily, there's something to look at. Daily, there's something to be awed at. There's something that we run into daily that speaks of God. When we see plant life grow, it speaks of God. When we can plant, and it speaks of God. Everything that speaks of God, God speaks. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. Here we go. Day unto day uttereth speech. One day after another talks to us. There is a language. That it's speaking to us. He wants us to understand that day after day, in a progression, yesterday, today, tomorrow, there's language, God's will, the things that's happening, these are all put in an order, and it's speaking to us. We are at a certain place. We're given a certain place and a certain time, and God is speaking in this time to us. Lord, help us to hear.
Amen.
What the Lord is saying, because I believe he speaks to all humanity by the creation that he made.
Yes.
He also speaks to the general public, but he speaks to us individually.
Yes.
By the events that he owns,
yes,
and the things that he does, he speaks to us. But there's these places in the Bible where we're awed at, right? So here comes Balaam. And all of a sudden, he can't go no farther because his animal won't go no farther. You know, maybe that's a good time to just stop and say, what's going on?
Yes.
The other day, I had my trailer on, had my lawnmower trailer on, back of my truck. I don't have a trailer on the back of my truck very often. So I forgot that it was on there. So when I pull up to back into my driveway, I usually just pull up with my truck and just back in by my mirror, and I did that. Of course, I swung the trailer to the other side, and I'm looking out this mirror, and I go to back my truck, and I forgot the trailer was on there. Well, I was going to take my truck between Hunter's car and my van. Well, my van's white and it's red. I was wondering which one was I about to get. But when I started backing up, I jackknifed the trailer, and all of a sudden, the truck stopped. Kind of like that, and I was like, what happened to my truck? So I pull up a little bit, seemed to do fine, and I went again, and it did it again. Folks, it's time to see what's wrong.
That's right.
Yeah. There's no sense in smashing down on the gas on this or trying to force it in there. Something went wrong, and I turned around and looked and said, just bent my trailer all up. I could have been worse, but it's time. There's indicators. There's things that speak to you. Stop.
Right.
Stop. I'm just thankful it jackknifed, but I didn't run into the vehicles. But I'm thinking, well, I was really stupid. I forgot that. But do you know why God needs to speak? Because we're human.
That's right.
We're human. God needs to. Sometimes He needs to chasten us a little bit. Sometimes He needs to correct us a little bit. God speaks through the things of His life. Balaam, you don't need to beat that donkey. Stop and see what. Look, there's, God's doing something. Lord, what's going on here? And throw a fit or a tantrum, all that. God's trying to speak to you, Balaam. So much so that He done it with a donkey.
Yep.
He literally started talking to him.
Yep.
God was willing to speak. You know, that's just mercy.
Yes, sir.
Thank God for mercy tonight, that God wants to speak to our hearts. Scripture over in Matthew 16th chapter. First verse, it says, "The Pharisees also with the Sadducees came and tempting desired Him that He would show them a sign from heaven. And He answered and said unto them, When it is evening, you say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. He said, Oh, ye hypocrites. Why did He say that? Oh, you hypocrites. You know the Lord said that? Because they proved the ability to understand. We know that you can decipher information. You're very well aware of what. Do you know that was speaking to them?
Yes, it was.
It spoke to them that don't take your ship out today.
Yeah.
Oh, it's going to be pretty now. You can move on out. It spoke, it imparts information to them. It imparted information to them. Jesus came and started doing the works of God. The blind received their sight. The lame walked. The prophecies was being fulfilled by Christ. It should have spoke loud and clear to those that had the understanding that these people had. It should have been obvious. God is speaking. Nicodemus came. He came in the night, but he came. He came as one of them, and he came and said, Master, we know Thou art God. Something spoke to Nicodemus, and he heard it. He heard it. And he followed that. Nicodemus wasn't where he should have been to start with. Who is? Who can be in a place if God doesn't tell us? If God doesn't speak to us, which one of us can get there without God working in our lives and helping us with those kind of things? I think there's times that the Lord will stop us right in our tracks when we're going the wrong way. Lord, why am I not prospering? Yeah, that's a good question. Why is things going this way? Lord, speak. Well, who was it? Samuel. When he was young, didn't he hear someone say, Samuel? And he went to Eli and said, Master, I'm here. Well, I didn't call you. But after a while that, Eli told him, if you hear it again, say, Lord, here am I. Your servant hears. Speak, for your servant is listening to what you have to say.
Yes.
You all, you hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the time. You wicked and adulterous generation, seek after a sign, and there shall be no sign given unto you but the sign of the prophet Jonas. This is all that he said to him. You know what? There was more than enough.
Yes. Yes, it was.
There was more than enough that was already being done.
That's
if
true.
They would have been listening to this. Another scripture over in 18th of Matthew. The first verse, and it says, at the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him, and set him in the midst of them. Yes. If you ever wonder about these things, forever spoken is the image of a child. Jesus actually held the child, I think, in Luke's reading. He got the child. Why did he do that? Because he wanted there to be something that spoke to them. He wanted to spoke to them. Yes. Now, I do not... Paul said, and I think in one time he spoke of the poets, of your own poets, he said, they said. Yes. So I'm going to venture that way. I don't promote this kind of thing or think that it's good. There was a poet songwriter who wrote a song, and here's some of the lyrics of it. It was a Simon and Garfunkel song, and it was The Sound of Silence. And I read what the poet writer meant by part of his lyrics. And the people bowed and prayed to the neon god they made. And the sign flashed out its warning in the words that it was forming. And the sign said the words of the prophets are written on the subway walls and tenement halls. What the poet meant by that was that they bowed to the neon god they made. They bowed and prayed. It was talking about TV. And he was talking about how all the people was getting their information, their political information, all the information they was getting, and they paid homage to it. They sat before it, and they believed it. And they paid homage to it, and they done it. I'm not being political. I'm just saying in this poet writer's mind that it was false. It was not true. And they was eating it all up. And they bowed and prayed to it, and they gave themselves to it, and all the information and everything they heard come through a medium. Yes. And that was the word that they heard. That was the information they got. What spoke to them was this neon god they made. Yes. And he says to it, they go by every day. Every day they pass the graffiti that was written on the subway walls. Peace, love, you know, all of these things, they went by it. It was written on the subway walls and the tenement halls and all of this. And that's the words of the prophets. If you would listen, every day you go by, but you will not hear it. You don't look at it. You don't see it. Again, I'm not advocating this kind of thing. I'm simply using it as the thought that this guy had about this is that we're bombarded by media. We're bombarded by media, by information, and all of these things. Our world is getting where it is from being bombarded to the neon god they made. And they get the information through this, and they don't listen to the firmament anymore. They don't listen to the things that call them inside anymore. The only thing they listen, they go by the obvious truth. You go by the, every day you listen to this, you get this, and you go by the drug addicts and the homeless, and you go by the death, and you go by those, you go by all the murders, and you go by all this, and you go right on by that, and you don't look and get any understanding at all, and yet wisdom cries. Wisdom cries, ain't the problem. It cries in the street, in the way of concourse. It's crying all the time. Listen to it. Listen to it. This is damaging. This is destroying homes. This neon god that you made is destroying your homes, your families. It's destroying the world around you. It's destroying children, but you're not listening. But the Lord's still speaking.
That's right.
To those that have ears to hear, to understand it. It's been, and the further we go, the more ridiculous it goes. How can a human, as intelligent as we was made, and as much education that we strive for, how can we we possibly get to where we're at? Well, it's obviously, it doesn't have to do with education then, does it? It obviously doesn't have to do with the things that we think that it does. What it has to do with is the spiritual battle that we're in. And God isn't being heard, folks. He's not being listened to. He's still talking, Brother Ivan. He still speaks to us. He's willing to speak to us. If people would stop and listen. He's speaking. He's speaking to you tonight. He's speaking. He can speak to us through our failures. Amen. Amen. God has spoken to me many times. See? This is where it goes. This is what I'm trying to keep you from. This is where it's at. Indeed, Lord, help us to be able to listen to what the Lord really wants to say to us. And at that same time came the disciples and Jesus saying, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" All want to be great. The whole world wants to be great. Everybody wants to be great. A little child. Who's listening to the little child? Forever sets us an emblem of what to follow. Jesus put a little child up and said, "Unless you become like, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as a little children." That child speaking and you ain't listening. This is the idea. This child sat there. It speaks. It can't say a word. It doesn't have to say a word. It's innocent. It's humble. It's needy. It's got all the qualities that speak out to every one of us that understand. What did the Lord try to tell them, disciples? You're worried about being great. Worry about being a child. This is what you're going to be successful at. Become as a little child. This little child will speak. Become as little children, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as a little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. You know, the Lord expressed some of these things to us. The Bible's full of the expressions. But you know, there's a whole lot of expressions that the Lord wants to talk to us that's not particularly written in the Bible. He speaks to us by His Spirit, by the understanding that we can have of God. He speaks to our hearts. He can speak to our conscience. He can speak to us when we just can know that that's not the way. Have you ever had that kind of, that's just not the right way. I might want to defend myself in that, but it's just not the right way to do it. It's not the best way to do it. Scripture over in, let's see, Genesis 4. Oh, we probably know the story. I'll pick it up. Fifth verse, it says, "But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect, and Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, thou shalt thou not be accepted. If thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, Where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground." Huh. Blood speaking?
Yes, it does.
Of course it does. Of course it does.
Yes.
Honestly, a culture of people that can so recklessly kill its unborn. Does that speak?
Yes, it does.
If anybody would actually stop and put themselves aside a little bit and even look into the animal world, that a mother of almost any species would fight vehemently to protect its young.
Yes.
Will do just about anything, even die. I've had birds that big attack me when you got close to the nest. You can have some of the most vicious things when it comes to protecting their young, and we as humans so recklessly can have an opinion. Something's speaking.
Yes.
Said Cain, Abel's blood speaking. It says something. Cain, Abel's blood shouldn't be on the ground.
That's right.
That says something. If I come along and look at blood, if I'm blood, that's going to tell me something. It speaks something. Information is round up in all of these kind of things that God wants to deal with you and I about. All of these things matter. I'm currently, I've told this several times, we pray, it's something I pray about and I put a request in it. I'm dealing right now with a family, a guy that I met on the internet and met with. He's in Pakistan. And I feel like they're Christian. He's got a wife and an adopted small son. And somewhere along the line, this guy got the idea, or he does anyway. He told me one night that he slapped his wife. And I was appalled. And after some conversation with him, I got very blunt with him and told him he wasn't much of a man. And I told him, you're a weak man. You're puny. No strong man finds it necessary to slap their wife. You just ain't much of a man. And he kind of took that, and we've talked ever since, but he talks about it. But he not found out that he didn't only hit her once, but he actually knocked her tooth loose, and blood was all over the place. And he has found out that he hit her a number of times, and he loses his temper and all of that. And I began to tell him about Ephesians and how the Lord loved the church and how we're to love our wives and how it said that Jesus presented, that he washed it and cleaned it, that he might present it to himself. And he told me, he said, well, my wife just won't talk to me. She will never confide anything in me or anything like that. And I told him that scripture and said, you made her. You made her. I said, I don't know of any woman that don't want to talk. I mean, they want to share, is what I mean. I don't know of any woman that don't want to share unless they've been abused out of it. They want to share. They want to have somebody to share with. She did too. And she did too. And he made it to the point that she's scared to say anything. He hit her and beat her and he slapped her and he kept doing it and I kept dealing with him. And he's promised me that he would never hit her again. And after a while, and I still ask him, you hitting on your wife? You still slapping her? No, but I'm not. I mean, I'll tell you, you need help with that. My point is, that's obvious.
Yes.
It's obvious. That's not what the Lord would want. That's not, I can tell you the Lord speaks. You can make your life miserable. You present your wife, brother, to yourself. You present your family to yourself. This is not just for men either. Mothers, you were presenting too. Everybody presents their life to themselves. I happen, thank God, to have a real good relationship with my neighbors. I've worked hard to do it. I've swallowed a lot of times and done things that I've done. Pray about it sometimes. But I've got a good, and I present my neighbors to myself as good neighbors. And I work hard to get good neighbors like that. And I'm glad that I got them. I thank God for it, because it isn't God that does it.
Yes.
God speaks to us
yes.
through all of these things.
Yes.
You got those kind of things? You know, it speaks. The world is groaning right now. And all this stuff that's going on is an obvious rejection of God speaking. And going away. Now in closing, and Lord help us here. And I hope this is more than a Marty Clevenger thought. But it weighs heavy on me. I read something recently, a study that was done, that talked about how men are affected by visual things and how women are affected more by writing things. And they used the example of Harlequin romances and those kind of things. It was very popular among women and things like that. No good, but they're saying that that was more, a much more of a draw than visual things was to a woman. And I think we all recognize the amount of young brothers that we've lost recently, many here. So I know that you're all touched by it very much. This last loss of Brother Philip, about my age, very touching. Brother Philip was a wonderful brother, had a most confidence in him, very humble man. But we've lost a lot of that. I just can't get away from the idea of the Lord talking.
Yes, right.
And I'm not exempting you ladies, but just for a minute I want to talk to you guys. God's saying something. He's speaking something. We are bombarded with visuals, men.
Yes.
We're in a time of it. Maybe we ought to stop for just a minute and try to listen.
That's right.
To what the Lord's saying. Because
yes.
This can't be out of his control.
That's right.
He's got to be saying something. I feel it. I feel like I'm in those categories and saying, Lord, this is unusual to my life. I haven't seen it like this. Lord, are you saying something? Are you trying to get our attention? If it is, Lord, get our attention. Lord, help us to hear this in our day and time. What if there's no other way to do it? Maybe the Lord wants to just say it in the message without all of this, but maybe that don't get it. So maybe the Lord wants to give us the visual. Maybe the Lord wants to give us, He wants to speak to us through these things, though after a while we say, Lord, what is this? You know, and there was a time in the wilderness where they started getting bit by these serpents and they had to go to the Lord and say, Lord, you promised to take us through here and these serpents are killing us.
Yep.
It didn't happen on the first bite or the second bite. But after there was enough of them with them serpent, fiery serpents that they ended up going and saying, Lord, we need a remedy. Lord, we need something here. What is this? What is going on in this day and time? What is going on now for us? I can't do it for anybody but me. But for me.
Yes.
Lord, what are you trying to say? Help us in this time.
Oh, yes.
It's a dangerous time.
Yes.
It's a time that it's so close. It's so at hand. All of this, it's right there. Lord, you know, the Lord loves us enough to speak.
Yes,
He does. He loves us enough to speak. Some old crazy guy out there, and never rained, ain't no water, and he's building a boat. Nobody heard it. Nobody listened. Nobody looked and said, maybe there's some evidence here of something. Maybe there's a... No, he went on his way, and over the years, it never happened. Nothing ever happened. But I'm going to tell you, we're obviously coming down to a certain place in time in this. By the way we look at the world and where it's going, we're obviously coming down to something. And I think it all speaks. And we should be able to listen. The Lord said to them at one point, He made a prophecy. I think the prophecy was wrapped up in the end of time and also a parallel of the destruction of Jerusalem. But He warned them. When you see these things, let it speak to you.
Yes.
let it say something. I'm going to give you a warning here. When you start seeing these things happen, beware of this. Be alert to it. Because this is what's going to happen. So the Lord wants to deal and speak to us in our lives. He wants to speak to us collectively, sure. You know, he wants to speak to our individual lives. I don't know if these crazy things happen to you or not, but they do to me sometimes. And I wonder about them. I don't always get an answer, but I do wonder about them. I got up one early day and was going to put some wood in my fireplace. It was in the winter. So I had this big cup of hot chocolate, and I come in and I set it down on the floor, and I was going to put some wood in my fireplace insert. And just as plain as anything, I set that cup down, and just as plain as anything, don't set that cup there. You know, I heated that. I moved the cup back. Don't put that cup there. Second time. So I moved it way back. Put the wood in there. And when I went to stand up, I had my socks on and I slipped and I kicked that cup and it went across the floor there. And I said I was warned twice to put that cup up. And I didn't do it. You know, I don't think God cares so much about a spilled cup of hot chocolate. But he does. If we're going to be successful, we're going to have to listen to the Lord. And you're going to have a disaster to have to clean up. Twice. Don't put the cup there. Like I said, I think the Lord was just saying to me, why don't you listen? Why don't you? I told you not to put it there. I had to do it my way. I got to put it up. And Lord, help me. That's the way I said it is. Sometimes it's just like, this ain't that meaningful. But the Lord speaks to each and every one of us. Tonight, I hope that you'll be willing to listen to what the Lord's saying. Because I am convinced that he's talking to every one of us. He wants every one of us to make it. And he's talking to us. And, you know, us as ministers, we don't have to label out everything. That's the Holy Ghost's business. And that's his favorite way of talking through those kind of things. But I'm going to tell you, the events of life do belong to the Lord. And he speaks through them. And tries to say something to us about our lives. You pray for me. I want to be faithful.